Have you ever considered possibly opening up your own school? Well, this episode is for you. Let's get started.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is episode number 10 of the ATA Nation podcast. We're into double digits now. And my name is Master Zach Hayden. I am your host for the show. Many of you may be listening to this episode as you are heading to Las Vegas. This episode drops on the 10th of... the 10th of May, and Spring Nationals is this coming weekend. So super exciting to finally have a national event we haven't had for so long. I just got back from another great regional tournament this last weekend, which is awesome. Got to see people from all over. Of course, got to hang with my ATA family. And now, next weekend, Spring Nationals out in Las Vegas. So it's going to be a great opportunity. If you are heading to Spring Nationals, make sure you share a bunch of pictures online. Make sure you use the hashtag ATA Nation. We want to see your training. We want to see your competition. We want to see what's going on out there. And I'm unfortunately not making it this time. Stuff came up and I couldn't come, and I'm kind of bummed about it because it's at a new facility, which is awesome. I'm pretty excited about it all being together at the Venetian, but maybe next time around. I've got a lot of traveling I got to do for mastership training this year, and so I was unable to make it to Spring Nationals, but I am excited for you guys that are going to be there. And please share lots of pictures and photos and videos and stuff online, because we want to see that. Now, let's get to our special guest today. We have Faith Clevenger. She is a school owner, and she's going to tell us her story here in just a minute. And it is all about moving from starting martial arts to having a little club, and then moving on and just becoming a full-time school owner now. So I thought this was really a great story. I know a lot of people out there have thought, like, hey, what if I did this for a living? What if I did martial arts and was teaching this? And this is a great opportunity to kind of see what that's all about. So let's get to our special guest interview.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we are excited to have with us today Mrs. Faith Clevenger. How are you today, ma'am?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I was really excited to have you join us today because you are a new school owner. How long have you had your martial arts school?
So we started in December of 2018. We rented a church gymnasium. And we did that for just over 2 years. We actually started with zero students. Our first night, like, I didn't have a base, take over a club or anything like that. On our first night in business, we had 4 students show up.
Nice.
Didn't have any mats, didn't have anything. I had 3 slammer pads and 2 small square targets, and that's how we started our very first class. So throughout those 2 years, we were actually, within like the first 5 months of being in business, we were gifted, 2 full rings of mats, which was incredible, to have that. And I slowly got some bags, and we just slowly like started to, build the club. And finally we realized that we did not have enough space anymore, that we needed to expand. So then we started looking at getting like a physical location. And so we moved into that new location in February of this year.
February of this year. Awesome. So I'm assuming you started out, that location was technically a club license or a club location?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Good. Well, I want to come back to asking you a couple of questions about that journey in a second, but can you tell us a little bit first about how you started in martial arts? What got you involved and how long you've been involved?
So I wanted to be like Chuck Norris. when I was 9 years old, my favorite TV show was Walker, Texas Ranger.
Nice.
In the 90s, you know, growing up was the 90s.
Yeah.
And I thought Chuck Norris was the coolest person on earth. And so I wanted to learn how to be like Chuck Norris. And I had been taking piano lessons at the time, and it was not going well. My parents were like, okay, well, we need to find something that you're going to love and get involved in. And so I started Taekwondo and just fell in love with the sport.
And did you start right with an ATA instructor, or were you in a different style first?
Yeah. So I started at Edwards ATA Black Belt Academy in Quincy. So my instructor was Senior Master Edwards.
Okay.
And then Master Bentley, too, who eventually came in and took over that school. So I grew up with Senior Master Edwards, Master Lee, and Master Bentley.
Excellent. And yeah. Did instruction, was that something that you were interested in right away? When did you start your instructor journey?
I was at the Taekwondo school as much as I possibly could growing up. I mean, I would be there almost every night training. There was nothing else that I wanted to do, to be honest. And I remember at like 11 or 12, I started helping out with classes. Nothing too exciting. I was just, you know, kind of an extra body on the floor to help out and, you know, make sure kids were kicking correctly. Getting close to black belt at that time, I think. And so I started helping out there. And then when I was 15, I started teaching the Tigers classes there. And that was my favorite class. I just loved teaching Tigers. I thought that was a ton of fun. And, you know, was the main instructor for that. And then once I got like into my junior and senior year of high school, I actually took a break from teaching. I decided that I wanted to play some high school basketball. And I did that, but I definitely missed Taekwondo. And so once I got out of college, I came back to it and started teaching again. So.
Awesome.
It was a good choice.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, what was the process like for you to start trying to recruit students and get students in when you guys started your club in that church? You know, were you really focused on growing it, or was it kind of a hobby thing at that time?
Well, I had no clue what I was doing because I did not go to I did not go to college for business. My college degree is in physical therapy. So I was, really leaning on, Master Bentley, my instructor, who just runs an incredible school. I called him all the time to ask, okay, I have no clue what I'm doing. So what do I need to do next? What's the next step? But I was working a full-time job at the time. And so it started out, of course, as a hobby because, you know, we weren't large enough for it to be my full-time job by any means. But slowly the school grew and I always wanted it to be a full-time job. It just couldn't be my full-time job to start out.
So you always had, in the back of your head that you wanted to, take this to the next level and go full-time with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I knew that that's what I wanted to do. I just had to get there and I guess in a way prove to myself that I could do it, you know? Without having that business background. So there was definitely some growing pains throughout that and learning what did work, what didn't work. But yeah, it took us about 2 years. I don't think I quit my job until about like right before that 2 year mark. So it was 2 years of working full time and growing the business. But I was finally able to quit my full time job, which was awesome.
And what was the main motivation between moving from your club location to the full license, number of students, you know, location, that kind of stuff? What kind of thoughts did you have as you took that next step?
So I was able to quit my job, my full-time job. And at that point, when we were in the church, our location was very hidden. We didn't really have any signage out front. You know, nobody knew that we existed. And we finally hit that 100 student mark, and the church was just packed. And it finally hit me, you know, in order to be able to run the location that I wanted to run, I couldn't do that in the church. You know, so I was constantly having to check in with the church schedule. Hey, we want to host an event this night. Is the space available? We actually set up and tore down every single night. Oh. So we laid out 98 mats every single night of classes. Oh,
that's crazy.
And picked them up. Yeah, it was a lot of work. And so, and as we started to like host more events and want to just make it more of that like professional martial arts school feel, we realized that we needed to be there four nights a week and, you know, more and more. And we just couldn't do that in the church. They didn't have the schedule to allow us to be there. We didn't have the visibility in the church to grow. You know, we didn't,
yes,
nobody
ma'am.
Knew we were there outside of like social media presence. And so we were like, okay, we've got to get a location where people know that we exist. I want to tear down the mats, set them up every night, and we can host events on our own schedule and timeline.
Yes, ma'am. Know? So what's it, you've been in your own location for a couple months now. What's it been like?
It was the best decision we've ever made.
Excellent.
Between not having to set up the mats, that was my job.
That would make me want to open a school just not to set those darn mats up.
I have never worked so hard in my life setting up and tearing down those mats night in and night out. But just having the visibility, you know, our location is on a busy street. And so people actually know that we exist now, which, I know this is probably a big shock, but that actually helps business. And people know that you are, that you exist and that you're open. So it was the best decision we've made. We've continued to grow. In fact, since being in our location, we've had the best months that we've ever had.
Excellent.
As far as, you know, new students and those things.
Yes, ma'am.
So very, very, very thankful.
That's fantastic. I mean, and especially after, I'm sure, how was COVID for you guys in the church location?
So we were, you know, in a way we were blessed because our overhead in the church location was so low that we were able to weather COVID pretty well. You know, now, like every other school out there, we had students that didn't train through COVID, and we lost money and, you know, like everybody else. But our safety net was a pretty big one, and that, you know, the overhead was so low that we were able to keep paying bills and keep paying the church and not worry about having to close down. So
that's great.
We were really lucky in that sense.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And I know I've talked to a lot of school owners recently, and they say post-COVID, or I know there are still a lot of school owners that are having to deal with a lot of COVID restrictions, but those who have been able to open up have seen some really great months. People seem to really want to get back to training and start something new after sitting around all year. And it sounds like you guys have perfectly positioned yourself to take advantage of that.
Yes, sir. Being in Iowa, Iowa is a more open state than I know other parts of the country. And so that's been really beneficial to us. You know, we're still taking the precautions we need to, but people are starting to, you know, come out and try and get back to a sense of normalcy. So between, I didn't really plan it this way. I'm not this smart, but we timed it really well in that our kind of opening our new location and the post-COVID hitting at the same time has really been busy for us.
That's great.
People finding us and then starting to come out of COVID too. So,
yes, ma'am.
We accidentally timed that really well.
That's good problem to have.
Yes, sir.
Well, I have a couple of questions from some of our insiders who've sent in their questions for you. What is one of your greatest moments in your ATA training?
My personal training or me as an instructor?
Let's do both. General? Let's do personal training first.
Um,
I know, it's a tough one.
I know. See, I'm not, I don't like to, you know, I don't like to brag on myself or my accomplishments. I don't like that. This is a harder one. I would just say, for me, the highlight of my training has been competing over the years. Personally, I love competing. I love all the friendships that I've made, and, you know, I've been blessed to compete in the top 10, several times. And that's been such a highlight for me personally.
What events do you, like most in competing?
Sparring and combat.
Sparring and combat.
Hands down.
Yeah. I can guess that from one of Master Bentley's students. That makes sense. What about for your students? What's a proud moment for you as an instructor?
This is way easier to answer. for me, it's two things. The first thing is I love seeing our students win. I'm not talking from a competing perspective, although that's great too. I love seeing our students achieve things that they didn't know they could achieve. You know, you can probably relate to that as an instructor too.
Yes, ma'am.
Whenever a student comes out here and maybe they're struggling with having good confidence, or, you know, they're being bullied at school, whatever they're struggling with, whenever they come in here and they learn how to have confidence, how to believe in themselves, like, that for me is what it's all about. You know, whenever parents come to me and they say, "Hey, my kid, they said yes, ma'am, at the store," you know, they show good respect, like, that's awesome to me. So I think that personally is what I get the most satisfaction out of. And then this last year, right before COVID, like the weekend that COVID hit, we had some students compete at a tournament, and they placed and they did really well. And just seeing their faces and how happy they are, and seeing, you know, themselves have success and win, like, that means way more to me than any of my wins that I've had over the years.
Yes,
you know?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. For sure. So what words of wisdom or what advice would you give somebody? Maybe I'm, you know, 15 and, I'm in my HA school and I'm interested. I'm looking at, like, hey, I might want to do this martial arts thing, as a job. But just, I don't know if that's, can I really do that? Is that something I can make work? What advice would you give somebody like that?
I would tell them to start learning all the aspects of teaching and managing. Learn as much as you can from your instructors, because whether it's an instructor who owns a school like myself or instructors in class, they have so much knowledge and they've been there. They've made the mistakes. They've learned the hard way. And so just ask them as many questions as you can. Learn how they teach. Learn why they do what they do. Learn how to not only teach, but, you know, work at the front desk, the other parts of the business that make it work. And just soak in as much knowledge as you can. It doesn't hurt to ask questions. And even if you don't end up owning a school one day or becoming an instructor, if you ask those questions, you're going to learn how to lead, how to manage, how to run, and those skills will take you into whatever career you go into. Even if you decide not to go into a martial arts career.
That's a great, great piece of advice there. So finishing up real quick, do you find that your journey has been assisted by being a member of the ATA? I know, you know, there's a lot of people out there who do martial arts and they're like, hey, should I, you know, open a school and just do it on my own? Or, you know, I, as an ATA guy, know the benefits of opening a school as an ATA instructor. How has being part of the ATA community been helpful in your journey to being a school owner?
I would without question say yes, that being a part of the ATA has been incredibly helpful. And that started out for me when I was a kid. You know, before I ever thought about teaching or owning a school, I had that community of people that supported me as a martial artist, as a young martial arts student. And that support has carried me my entire martial arts journey. And there are so many masters and instructors in my region and outside of my region that I could call if I had a question or an issue. And I don't know where else you would find that kind of support. Going to tournaments over the years, I've met so many people in so many different parts of the country and even the world. And I know that I could call any of those people and they would mentor me in a heartbeat. And I think that's really unique with the ATN. I think that's really important to have that community and that connection. And same when I was 10, I had friends that I would call and text and just be like, hey, you know, you live in Florida and I'm going to call you because you're one of my friends that I love getting to know you and catching up with you. And having that community at 9 and 10 years old was important to me. And now I have that same community. We're all just grown up now and teaching. And I think that's really great.
Yes, ma'am. Awesome. Well, we are excited to see your school continue to grow and thrive. Congratulations on, you know, signing that lease and moving into that physical location. Best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you have
for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being part of ATA Nation. What a great story. I think it's super exciting to hear someone moving from club owner to full-time instructor and, you know, just getting to live the dream of being a martial arts instructor and changing lives throughout their training. So super exciting. Now, I have a special assignment for you guys. Let's do this bumper first.
Listener feedback.
Okay, because a bunch of you guys are going to be out there in Las Vegas at Nationals, this is what I need you to do, okay? I need you to send me some audio, maybe like, hey, I'm at Spring Nationals, and this is my name from this school, and I placed, you know, this, or here's why I love ATA, okay? So I want you to send me some audio. You've got to text it to me, 260-250-3975. If you're at Spring Nationals, I keep doing that. It's snowing here in Indiana today, so I've got my seasons completely messed up. But I want you to text me an audio clip, 260-250-3975, or you can record it right on your phone and use your name, rank, what ATA school you're from, who your instructor is, and what you love about Spring Nationals or the ATA. I would love to hear some people from Las Vegas to include in next week's episode, but you've got to make sure you send that to me right away. Maybe as you're traveling, as you're seeing people, whatever you want to send as just a message to ATA Nation about why you love ATA Nation and what happened, what your favorite part of Spring Nationals was. We want to include that on the show next week. So, listener feedback, I got to have your feedback next week. Okay. So, make sure text me. Audio is best. I'll take some text, but audio. 260-250-3975. I want your feedback on the show, not about the show, but about your time at Spring Nationals and what you love about ATA Nation. Make sure you include your name, your rank, and your school. You want to make sure you give your ATA school a shout out for sure. All right. So, okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap up the show today. What a great episode. It's always great to talk to you guys, and make sure you are out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Secret part at the end. I stole this idea from somebody else's podcast, but thanks for sticking around to the end. Man, I'm going to miss seeing you guys all at Nationals. Hopefully you guys have a good time. I'm really stoked about the launch of the new Gumdo program. I know I've told you guys that before, but I'm going to be waiting for the email because they said as soon as they launch it at Nationals, they're going to send us emails about it that did the training already virtually. And I'm signing up right away because that seems awesome. Got to do some other work on my form too. I've been working on my form this week. Seventh degree is pretty fun. I'm liking it. It's got some weird stepping situations in it, but definitely some neat new stuff. So, okay, guys, have a great trip to Spring Nationals if you're going. If you're not going, join me in checking out all the Instagram posts online as I kind of get to live vicariously through those who are going. Later.